All right, Ron. Okay, tonight, Bezrat Hashem, it's the first of a series that we're going to give in preparation for Pesach. Another one or two sessions that we'll have, we'll try to get in some choice pieces of the Haggadah. Now I want to give a very general introduction to the whole idea of Pesach in general. Pesach has two names, called Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzos. And to understand the different allusions in these names, the aspect of Pesach, the aspect of Matzah. I want to open up with just asking a very basic question. We call the night, Seder night, Leil HaSeder. That name is ancient. You'll find it already. In the writings of Rishon, it was called Leil HaSeder for many centuries. Right? I have a question, right? Any detailed list of halachas could also be called a Seder. Like we have, Seder Eruv Tavshilin, right? You have, Seder Sfiras HaOmer, right? And some of the surah actually says that, by these different mitzvahs that we mentioned, this is the Seder, is how you do it. So what is special about Leil HaSeder that gets called Leil HaSeder per se, where any set of laws that need to be executed could easily be called a Seder because you have to do it in that order. So why is Leil HaSeder called Seder? So regarding the Chag HaPesach. So why is it called Chag HaPesach? Pesach Hula Hashem. Why? So Rashi explains Pesach Hula Hashem. Right, Hashem shepasach, like we also say in Haggadah, Pesach shepasach akoshku abate avoseinu b'mitzrayim. Right, he jumped over us. Rashi learns. Now Unklus doesn't say it. Unklus says something which makes a lot more sense. Unklus says upasachti alechem v'chayis, I'll have mercy on you. Rashi is the one that says, jump, passed over. Right, that's Rashi's approach. And, he weaves it through, constantly. And now what interests me, before we even ask a very fundamental question about this, what interests me very seriously on the Pasuk, Pesach Hula Hashem, right? So he says that, the carbon is called the Pesach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over us. Va'afatem, so Rashi adds, you also, B'nai, so Asu Avodosav L'Shem Shamayim, do Hashem's mitzvahs L'Shem Shamayim, Derech Diluk V'Kfitza. With skipping and jumping. What does that mean? How, why is Rashi adding this? The pasuk says Pesach Hula Hashem. So Rashi says, it's called Al Shem that Kosh who jumped on us. You also now do your Avodah Shem Shemaim, Derech Diluk V'Kfitza. What are we talking about? But the fundamental question is this idea of Passover. If I give you a hit list. Anyone here work in that? Because I need one. No, I know. Oh, not here. Wrong crowd. Listen, I give you a hit list, right? So Joe Blow and these people, these are the guys on the hit list, right? What? Joe knows the guy for me. I just feel it, right? Anyway,
I'm taking care of
them. There you go. That's what I want to hear. All right. Stop. All right. You have a branch in Israel? There you go. I like it. So, you have a bunch of guys on the hit list. All right. And let's say, these guys, they don't live, all the guys on my hit list, they don't live right next to each other. Right? So, they're interspersed, one guy lives on 71st Street, another guy lives on 70th Street, another guy lives, Jewel Avenue. Is it called, as you go from house to house, because, I paid you, right? So as you're going from house to house to execute the people I asked you to execute, is it called that you passed over the people in the middle? Is it called that you passed over to people? They're not on the hit list. So what if you had to go around their house to get to the other guy? All right. Well, what's this Passover business? Kosher jumped over us. You're not on the hit list. All right. So I just have to go around your house to get to the next guy. What is it like? Passover. Also, even logistically, Passover. Why do you have to pass over? You go around, go to the right, go to the left. Like, you know, just so you know what the terms mean. Right. Another question, why do we eat matzah on Pesach? All right, so we say Nagoda because, we didn't have time for, the dough to rise when we left Egypt, Right? But that's not true. That's not true. Because the night before they left, they had a Seder night in Mitzrayim. And halacha was, al matzos umrom yachlu, they had matzos already in advance, in preparation, to eat with the Korban Pesach, right? So during the day, they made matzos again, by their escape, and over there was another reason why the matzos had to be matzos, because there's no time for it to rise, but they had matzos by design, none of this, being in a hurry business, the night before. So that means that there's something special about matzah, aside from the fact that we left Mitzrayim in a hurry, right? That even the night before, by design, we bake matzahs. But there is a very interesting something to observe, a special halacha that was was special for that generation. There are two special halachas. So a did of Mekhol Basar separate the Korban Pesach, 4 days in advance. That was a special halacha just for that generation. And there was another special halacha for that generation that kacha tochso masnechem chagurim makelchemem, ready to go. You had to have your shoes on, walking staff in hand, ready to move. Right? Rachaltim oto b'chipazon, eat fast, because Pesach hu la'Hashem. Right? So my question is like this. Right? When did they get that message? Right. They got that message on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right. Moshe Beiru comes with the Nevuah of Achorosh Zelachem. Right. And with that Nevuah came all the halachas of Pesach 2 weeks in advance. Right. 2 weeks in advance. Right. There's not, they didn't get this halacha the day before. That means that by design, right, in a cool and calculated way of 2 weeks in advance, you're going to be in a hurry, right? Be in a hurry and in a rush by design, planned in advance, right? And for our last question, really, this is our last question, right? The very first mitzvah Am Yisrael got as a nation, as we said, the Moshe Beidu comes and gives us our first mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Right, and then right in the continuation of that prophecy were the next mitzvahs that had to do with Seder night. Right. So my question is, what is up with that? That the first mitzvah, right? The first mitzvah we got is Kiddush Acharis. I mean, you can imagine that. Moshe Beidu is coming to tell the Jews, we're done with this pagan garbage. Right. This paganism is for losers. Right. This is the real spiritual stuff. There's no spiritual stuff, and we're getting started. We have our own calendar, right? That I started with, right? Kiddush HaChodesh was our first mitzvah. We got as a people. Like, why? Right? So the idea is like this, to try to understand a little bit the difference between chametz and matzah. That there's something amazing to observe. The Zohar points out they're almost the same word. So they both have mem tzadi, right? Except matzah has a hey at the end, and chametz has a ches at the beginning, and a ches and a hey almost look identical. You just have to like chink. So I put a crack, and it's a Zohar, by the way. It's a Zohar. It says that the ches broke and became the hey of matzah. It's a Zohar. It's a Zohar. Right, Yitzias Mitzrayim was about breaking the ches, right? So with that crack, it looks like a hay, and that's it. And that's how chametz becomes matzah. And we're gonna explain that in a second, right? Legislating against chametz, right? The Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about not having chametz, right? And instead having the matzah, right? And if having matzah is like so important, chametz is so bad, so why is it mutter the rest of the year? Right? Shavuos, when we get the Torah, we have the shtei lechem, which are chametz. Right? 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 The idea is like this. We asked a question before, you know, about the, you know, why Seder night's called the, you know, Seder, right? When any marechet, any set of laws, and they have to be done in a certain sequence, because it would be called a Seder. So why does Seder night get the name Seder, you know, more than any other mitzvah, right? So let me ask you, let me ask you a very fundamental question. What defines order? What defines order? Mm-hmm. Right? What do you, so I'm going to ask a question about Seder itself. You know, what defines order? Let's call it science in an orderly pattern. So, all right, fine. I'll say. All right. See, you would think, well, order is like this. There's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, right? Going in, which is another word of saying that's time. That's time. This comes first, this comes second, this comes third, right? Right? And we know, especially modern-day physics has taught us, that time and space are functions of each other, right? So just, you know, just like first, second, third, fourth. So closer, a little bit less close, a little bit further away, a little bit further away. That's the second, the third, and the fourth, right? That's what you think, right? Is that true? From a Torah perspective, is that true? Right. That Seder means first, second, third, fourth. Come on. Ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah. Right? Rashi works with it all the time, you know, in Chumash. The Torah is not in chronological order. Right? Torah is not, you know, built on Seder of chronology. So what's the order? So it's in a conceptual order, not in a chronological order, in Mukta Mukhar Batara. I mean, contrary to what we, you know, what the regular human mind thinks, that order means first, second, third, fourth, fifth, right? You know, it's got nothing to do with that. Now, very interesting, you know, Bereshis, right? The beginning, right? So what does Rashi say on that? Right? Rashi has two comments on Bereshis. Right, the beginning. So let's jump to the second one first, right? And that is Bereshis Bishvil Yisrael Shnikru Reishis Bishvil HaTorah Shnikreis Reishis before, right? And the Jewish people were the last nation to emerge, right? Because first, by the Tower of Babel, was when God divided up humanity into 70 nations, right? The 70 original Shivim Umais, that all other nations are just subcategories of them, and the Jewish people arose 400 years later. I mean, Avraham Avinu was selected at the time, right? But 400 years later, Am Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. Am Yisrael's the last of the nations to arise, right? Last of the original root nations. Am Yisrael's the last one, and the Bereshis, Bishul Yisrael, Shnikru Reishis, that are called the first. The Torah was given 26 generations, right, after the world was created, right? In the 26th generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, right? Torah is called the first, right? So for the first. So you see, it's got nothing to do with chronology, what it means to be the first, right? Right? But let's go back to the earlier Rashi, which directly connects to our sugya. Right, because Rashi points out the very first mitzvah that we got was HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, so we should have started the Torah from there. Right? Why did the Torah start from Bereshis? Well, if the Goyim say, you stole the land of Israel, say, listen, the world belongs to God. Yeah, you had it first, but then he took it away and gave it to us. I mean, that's their whole taina. We were here first. Whether it's the Arabs that were there before the Jews came back, 100 years ago, whether, and especially the Palestinian claim is that they claim that they're descendants of the seven nations, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, Hivite, and Yevusi, right? We were here first. Being here, the whole message of Bereshis, right, is being here first doesn't mean nothing, right? Will of God is what determines. So, yeah, you were here first, but God took it away from you, gave it to us. being, you know, chronologically the first doesn't mean anything. That's the basic message of Torah. The Torah is in a different type of Seder altogether, the opposite of the way the human mind makes order out of things, that the human mind, right, as already was pointed out by Kant, right, that, you know, human mind makes order out of things by positioning everything as terms of time and space. That's how we make order out of all the information that bombards us. We make order out of it, you know, by arranging the fee, you know, time and space, right? And what's another word for time and space? Chometz. Chometz, right? How so? How does something become chometz? Very simple. Just give it time. And the more, it's all just give it time, right? And the more time you give it, the more space it takes up. It rises. Time-space is chometz. Time-space is chometz, right? All right? And that's a secular perspective on what life is, right? That the concept of first is who got here first, who got to the top first. Right, the guy who gets to the top first. You know, so either I was here first, or I have the top position, time and space. Right, and that's, you know, that's, you know, that's what determines power. Right, in, you know, in a secular mindset, the Torah comes and says it's got nothing. The real Seder of reality, it's got nothing to do with time and space. Right? The real Seder of reality has to do with the Lord's list of priorities. Right. That's the real Seder, right? So now to get a one step deeper, right? Get one step deeper, right? And then we could start pulling the pieces together, right? Originally, before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, that, by the way, there is a shita, the Eitz Hadas was chita, right? It was actually wheat, right? It was grain, right? Right, there you go, cupcakes. Right, chometz, right? Right? Yeah. Before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, right? So the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim that he had a different type of mind than the mind that we know today. Right? That he really lost. He really lost intelligence by eating from the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Right? The Rambam says that the intelligence of Adam Arishan before he ate from the Eitz Hadas was that he could tell truth from falsehood, not good versus evil. And the Rambam explains good versus evil is relative. You know, what's good for you may not be good for me. And, you know, and that's how the mind works in a hopelessly relative, when you just measure in terms of time and space, as opposed to truth versus falsehood, when you just, how you make orders, just what's first, well, who's on first, what's on second? I don't know who's on third. Remember that? Right? When you arrange reality that way, right? That means you don't zoom in on the truth. So the only thing you can weigh is upside versus downside. But upside versus downside is not an objective scale. That's das tov v'ra, upside versus downside. Adam Arishan was able, before he ate from the Eitz Hadas tov v'ra, knowledge of good and evil, was to have knowledge of the truth versus the falsehood. Everything that's true is, everything that's false isn't. Time and space didn't play a role in determining who's more important or who has more rights than someone else. When he fell into Eitz Hadas Tovara, that's because he fell into the mentality that we know that we don't measure truth. We don't measure the innate value of anything. We don't know the MS. We don't know the innate value of anything. We just know who was first and what came second and what came third. Right? And in that framework, in that that way of thinking, you don't really know what the truth is. You can only try to say, this is more pleasurable, this is less well. This is more advantageous, this is less advantageous. Right? Right? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? You know, as the Sfarim say, Mitzrayim is also the same word, Mitzrayim, to get out of the boundaries, was to get out of that mindset. We had to get out of the mindset that measures reality with time and space, and start measuring reality according to the values of the Torah. Right? So now the realities of measuring reality with time and space, as we said, that's called chometz. So now it's like analyze the word, right? Right, analyze the word chometz. Right? So it starts with a ches. Ches is sealed from all sides. You're locked in, right? You're locked in. The Gemara says in Menachos that the way you're supposed to write a ches in a Sefer Torah is with a, like put a roof on it. Chatrei Laches, right? Because it alludes to Hashem is above. Hashem is above. I mean, he's above. He's not revealed within the world. He's not revealed within the world, right? It's a godless world. The Ches represents a God that God is above, you know, and he's not revealed within because he's Chayhu Barush. So he's in the height of the universe. He's not revealed here, right? Right, that's what the Ches represents, and so it's a blockage before the Mem and the Tzadi, right? The Mem and the Tzadi says the Zohar. You ever want to hear of Atbash, right? Right, Aleph Tav Beishin. Mem Tzadi and Atbash is Yud K, God's name, right? You know the God's name, you know, of which He created both worlds. You know, Gemara says Menachos with the Yud, he created Olam Haba, with Hey, he created Olam Hazeh. The Chometz, you're blocked out from seeing the reality of God, right? You're stuck in that box, you know, stuck in the box of a godless world, right? It's a sealed, right? There's only one way to go from a Ches, just down, right? There's only one way out, and that's down, right? Nada. Right? The idea of matzah. Right, the word matzah, right, is, you know, so we said the Mem and the Tzadi allude to the Yud and the Hey, right? And then you break the Ches, that means you break out of the box, right? You break out of the box. Right? And the construct of a Hey, once you break that box, is a Dalet and a Yud, right? So Dalet is the different directions that you can move in. Four ways, and the Yud is Olam Haba. We said with the Yud, God created Olam Haba, that you could find your way from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. In the world before Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's no way that you could get there from here. You were sealed in, locked in. Olam Hazeh was godless. Godless. It blocked you off from the Mem and Tzadi. You cannot find God in this world. You cannot find God in this world before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that believed in God had a transcendental experience, but there was no revelation of God within this world, right? The Rambam points out in the Mor Nevuchim, the first revealed miracles that other people witnessed was done by Moshe Rabbeinu when he went to Paro, you know, first with this, you know, throwing the staff and becoming a snake. You know, revealed miracles, Nisim Gluyim, started with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Avos did not do Nisim Gluyim. Right, we have Midrashim how they were miraculously saved and this and that. Right, but you know, everyone was saved from the furnace, or you know, but these were not revealed miracles that anyone else was forced to admit to. Moshe Rabbeinu does revealed miracles that Paro has to admit to, right? And why Leman Safir Shmi B'chol Aretz? Leman Rosas Kochi Leman Safir. God said, "I want to display my power. They should speak my name throughout the world." Right, Yetzias Mitzrayim is to break the box of Chometz, break us out of the mentality that just sees everything as time and space, which you could view as being infinite, right? And this box of time and space could just go on forever and ever, and people could easily deny that there's no beyond. There's no beyond to get to, right? Right, you got to break that Ches, right? Got to break that Ches into a Hey, right? The Hey is the letter that Olam Hazeh was created with. You know, Eilu Tal Shemayim V'Aretz Behi Baram. Rashi says Behei Baram with the letter Hey, and the letter Hey, as we explained, because even though you can move in Dalet and Yud, even though you can move in many different directions, you can find Yud. You could find Olam Haba. You get to Olam Haba from this world. Olam Hazeh is a prozdor. It's a walkway to Olam Haba, but you only see Olam Hazeh as an opportunity, a walkway to Olam Haba, when you break that Ches. You got to break out of that box. You got to break out of that box. The world was stuck in that Chometz type mentality, right? Until Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's right, Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? To get out of those boundaries. Get out of the boundaries. Right? So now, you know, when we get out of these boundaries, now we're living on a different, we're living in different dimensions than the Goyim. Right, because they're stuck within these boundaries of time and space, and to them, that's the whole reality. Time, space is reality. Right, that's what they say in physics. Time, space, and we say no. The reality, even physical reality, has spiritual dimensions to it. That through those spiritual dimensions of Olam Hazeh, you could reach Olam Haba. You could find your way to Olam Haba. It's a prozdor Olam Haba. Right, that's what it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu skipped over us. Right, so what it means to say is that when the Mashris came, right, to destroy all of Mitzrayim, if you would only be looking in the three dimensions of time and space, what science measures, total devastation. In the three dimensions, including the fourth dimension of time, the four dimensions of Olam Hazeh, a physical Olam Hazeh, time and space, total devastation. If you could like look at it, right? So why didn't the Jews die? Total devastation in all four dimensions. Because they live in different dimensions. That's what it means I skipped over you. It's as if Am Yisrael sunk into another dimension at the time, and that's why it's called passed over. Jumped over us. Right? Then we go, because in the four dimensions of time and space, total devastation. Any scientist would say total death. Total death. And the Jews didn't die. They're in a different dimension. They're right. That's what it means. It jumped over us because in the four dimensions it was total devastation. We sunk into a different dimension, right? Mm-hmm. The spiritual side of Olam Hazeh, the spiritual side, right? And that's what it means. Akash Hu passed over us, right? Because even though total death and devastation, all four dimensions, Am Yisrael spared to show that Am Yisrael is in a different dimension. So it's as if it passed right over our heads. Because when you live by the order of the Torah, you're living by a different order. Right? Not an order of time and space, a higher order. The order of mitzvahs. Right? So now we'll just jump ahead. Pesach is 1 week long, right? Right? You have another 6 weeks of the Omer. Right? So that's a Vav. Right? Six. Right? You add the Vav to matzah, you get mitzvah. It's all in the Zohar. It's all in the Zohar. Right? That, because you come to Shavuos, right? That's when we got the Taryag Mitzvahs, Right? We get to Mitzvah, right? But Matzah is the beginning. Matzah is the beginning of breaking out of the box. And that's why Matzah has to be done fast. It means Matzah is not supposed to take time. The idea of fast, the Maharal says, is supposed to represent being outside of time. Right, time, take your time. Take your time. Fast is supposed to represent the idea of being beyond time. Right, getting more done than what the time allows for. That's what fast represents, being beyond time. That's what it means that Bnei Yisrael had to rush by design. They had to be rushed. They're told 14 days in advance. Right, that Seder you're going to rush. This is like rush by design, right? Pre-planned, right? To be in a rush. No, because Yetzias Yisrael had to be bechipazon. It had to be rushed, right? To represent the idea that we are leaving the whole realm of time and space to live by the order of the Torah. Right? The order of the Torah is not chronological. The order of Torah is the real hierarchy of values, the way God sees it. And that way, even though Am Yisrael was the last nation to emerge, we're still called the first. The Torah, which came after 26 generations after the world was created, is still called the first. Because it's the first in priorities, right? Not the first in chronology, right? And it's priority, it's the concept, the value that counts, not the time. That's why it's racious, right? So now, to get back a little bit to the matzah. Matzah, so that's Pesach. And that's chipazon. So matzah has to be made very, very quickly. Now, as a result of it's not being made quickly, right, it doesn't take up much space, right? So that means that matzah itself is outside of time and space because it's made very, very quickly. And as a result, just like it's outside of time, so it doesn't take up much space. Right, it represents the pure thing itself, right? So this is an amazing point to think about, right? You could do this experiment at home, right? Leave out for a few days a piece of bread and leave out some matzah, right? Right, the bread will go moldy within a couple of days. The matzah, we still eat the matzah by Pesach Sheni. What do we eat Pesach Sheni, right? Right, it's not as crunchy. Same thing. Well, it's the same thing. There you go. Right, same thing, right? It's an amazing thing to think about. Matzah seemingly, it lasts. So now we know, al pi Kabbalah, right, that what everything in the physical reality has spiritual underpinnings. So all that, you know, those that bacteria and all those germs and all that mold, you know, that, you know, that, you know, its spiritual underpinnings are, you know, the mazikim, you know, those really, those nasty things, the mazikim, that things that called, cause nezek, right? Those things are niver of Shabbos ben Hashmashas, right? It infests the bread. It doesn't infest the matzah, right? Right? Because the place for the mazikim is the mentality, right, of time and space. That fake reality is that that's their turf. The matzah is just the pure thing itself, right? They don't have where to grab on. Where do they grab on? They grab on in the world of illusion. The puffiness of chametz is just hot air. It's just hot air. And because it's just hot air, that's why it rots so fast, right? And the Rambam says this in the Pirush HaMishnayos, you know, on the Mishnah, Yofi Shachas Shav Tshuva Masim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh Mikoch HaOlam Haba. One moment of tshuva and good deeds in this world is better than the whole Olam Haba. So the Rambam says, you know, I've seen people, it is Pirush HaMishnayos right there. I've seen people that say, you guys who learn Torah all day, you're missing out on life. You're missing out on life. You know, there's like so much out there in the outside world and you don't even know from it. You're missing out on life. Right? So that's what people claim, that those who are perpetually, you know, only Isaac in acquiring wisdom and good deeds are missing out on life. And Rambam says the exact opposite is true. Right? The ones who are always acquiring wisdom and doing good deeds, they're the ones who are making the most of life. And the guys who are chasing their tivus, they're the ones who are missing out on life. So, and that's what the Tanna is going to say. Those who are osik in Torah and mitzvahs, they're making the most out of life, right? But seemingly those people, you know, they're talking about the big world, the big world. Well, that big world is the bigness of chametz. It's hot air and it rots quickly. Yeah, it's big. Yeah, it's big. But it's the bigness, it's the puffiness of that hot air that that is nota, you know, really leans towards decay. Mm-hmm. Whereas matzah is the pure substance, the pure God-created substance. Right? And that's when we break the ches, it becomes matzah. Right? We're getting to the crux of reality without any frills, without what our fake mentality imposes upon it. And then just one more point on this. The Shita of the Rambam, Halacha L'Maaseh, is what's the Ikar Bir Chametz? You know, it's a Machlokas Rishonim. Is Ikar Bir Chametz burning it or Bitul Balev? You know, the Bitul Chametz. The Rambam Paskins, right? Halacha L'Maaseh, the Ikar Hashbasa is Balev, in the heart. The Bitul Chametz is the Ikar. The burning of the Chametz, that's just like, you know, that's just a ritual. The Rambam Paskins, the Ikar, ridding yourself of Chametz, is to annul it in the heart. And that fits very nicely what we're saying. The Ikar of Chametz is a mentality. It's a mentality. It's a worldview. And the Ikar HaShbasa is Balev, to think differently about it. To know that's nothing. That which people make a big deal, that's just hot air. The Ikar HaShbasa is Balev. That's the Ikar Bir Chametz. The burning is just a minhag. Right? The Ikar, what gets you out of the Baal Yura, Baal Yematza, is the Bitul Balev. Right, so get out of that mentality, and when we break out of that box, so the chametz becomes matzah. We get in touch with the pure essence of reality, the way it is, without what our mind superimposes upon it, right? And that pure essence of reality, it's mamish God's world. God's world is pure and doesn't rot. And viewing the world that way has the destiny of going from matzah to mitzvah. Right? But you have to first change your view of life, your view of reality. Right? So that's what it means. Rashi says, just like God jumped over you, that which shows that you're in a different dimension, you have to do your mitzvahs l'shem shamayim, derech kfitza v'diluk, jumping and skipping. So we ask, like I said, it's like, what's the tachlis of mitzvahs? Mitzvahs being an extension of matzah. It starts with matzah and then it reaches mitzvah. Right? Right, the idea of mitzvahs is not a code of conduct, right? Like the Irishman on St. Patrick's Day, he does this, and I on Purim, I do that, and you know, it's not culture. It's not a way to spend, you know, how to play out your years on earth. Mitzvahs are about making it from here to there, right? Right? So that's why you have to first of all do it l'shem shamayim. It's not a way to live on earth. It's a way to make it, you know, to make a sakasha. But there are kfitz of a deal. The point of mitzvahs is not a way to live life linearly. Mitzvahs is how to climb from dimension to dimension till you are really, before you died, really are worthy to go to Olam Haba. So it's going to be derech kfitz of a dilug, right? Mitzvah is about skipping, running and skipping to another dimension, right? And of course, mitzvahs only have that value if you do them l'shem shamayim. Now, if you do them because it's a lifestyle, right? That's what Rashi means, right? So now you can also understand ushmartem es ha-matzos, right? Guard the matzah, shouldn't become chametz. Rashi, right in Chumash, brings the famous chazal, al tikrei matzos ela mitzvos. Mitzvah bo liyodcha, al tachmitzer. Matzos sets the tone for all mitzvahs. That mitzvah bo liyodcha, al tachmitzer. Because it's the same idea. Mitzvahs are about taking you to another dimension, getting you out of the box of time and space, getting you out of this box that Hawkins calls endless. Right? You know, that Yenner Mushchas in the wheelchair, right? You're right. He calls this endless, right? Endless, right? Come on, it's like it's apikorsis, right? Time and space, endless, right? And Pesach is mamish kenegedah, breaking out of box, breaking that ches, right? Turning it into the hay that this world was created with, that this world was really created with. Right, and then it goes to the back of the world that, you know, when you see reality that way as the hay that God created with. So Mem Tzadi Yud Kei is mashpia to the hay, and when we're zocher the Torah, that's, you know, the full chef of mitzvah. Right. So mitzvahs are all about that, getting out of the box, and that's why you have to do mitzvahs bezrizus like the matzahs, getting out of the box of time and space. So with this, we could go back to our original question, right? So Pesach is that we live in a different dimension. Matzos is all about what to do to be worthy of that, get to the essence of things, and getting to the essence, the real essence that's invisible to the human mind that measures things in time and space, is to try to break out of the box of time and space by doing things quickly. Leil HaSeder is when this new world order, breaking, you know, the order of time and space, right, and bringing the Torah order, which is a conceptual order, a philosophical order, an order of values as opposed to a chronological order, right? That order renews itself in the universe every year on Seder night. So as that the whole Seder of Torah mitzvahs are just subsections of the, you know, they're all particles of Leil HaSeder, because breaking into the human consciousness, breaking into what's called Chalolo Shalom, the space of the universe, the space that we tell, you know, breaking in that order, which is breaking the ches to turn into a hay. It happens every year on Leil HaSeder. It's called the Night of the Order. This night renews the whole order that all of Torah mitzvahs are a function of. That Torah couldn't have been given before Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the world wouldn't have been in sync with Torah mitzvahs, because the world was working on a different pace, right? Leil HaSeder, you know, paved the way for Matan Torah. Matzah paves the way for mitzvah, right? That we break into the world a recognition that order is not time and space, right? Order is God's values. That's the real order of reality, and that's what renews itself every year on Leil HaSeder. So it's called the Night of the Order. The whole order of Torah mitzvahs comes into the world Leil HaSeder, and that's how we start preparing for Matan Torah, to make the matzah into mitzvah. And when we turn the matzah into mitzvah, then we have the spiritual batteries to take on the chametz. And that's why chametz again becomes mutter, because we're going to capture it for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Capturing it for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's why on Shavuos, when we get the Torah, we have the spiritual ammunition that the Shtei Alechem are chametz. We have the spiritual ammunition that we're strongly enough entrenched in the new order that we could take on the fake order and conquer it and elevate it. But during the first 7 days, only matzah, no chametz, because we're first getting used to being acclimated to the new order. So we have to have chametz withdrawal, just like we left Mitzrayim, but also chametz withdrawal, a whole withdrawal of that world order. But then after Pesach, we get the spiritual batteries to confront that world, that fake world order, and conquer it for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. L'chaim. 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 L'chaim.
You good? Yeah. Yep. Scott.